Now, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, we're still on the manifestation of the Spirit. And just after this, I will be teaching on the pre-camp meeting teachings that I usually do every year. And I'll have a very special emphasis this year. So pay very good attention to this. This is like the introduction of what I'm going to teach just before the camp meeting. In Matthew's Gospel 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We said it oftentimes that you need to read the Old Testament to shed light on the New. You must not separate your Bible. You can distinguish the books of the Bible, but don't separate it. They are meant to be read together. So here, Matthew points our attention back to the Old Testament. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, here's Jesus upon the resurrection. He says, all authority, verse 18, sorry, is given to me in heaven and earth. That's the word power there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So on two occasions, Matthew, even though he talks about Jesus, you know, God as a man, he points us back to the Old Testament. In Matthew 1:1, he takes us back to David and Abraham. In Matthew 28:20, he lets us know that the Jesus we just read about is the Yahweh God of the Old Testament. The uncreated being of the Old Testament who created all things. What we are reading is how he became a man. So which means to know who Jesus is and understand Jesus is beyond the four Gospels. You need to read from Genesis to Malachi to know who Jesus is. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verse 2. As is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Yet again, you find the author here takes us back to Genesis. That's Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel. That word is Genesis. It takes us back to Isaiah, Isaiah 40 verse 3, and takes us back to Malachi 3:1. So that's how to read the Bible. You do not separate, just distinguish, but you must read everything together. You see, there's such a thing as reading the entire counsel of God's word. Read everything together. The convenient ones, the non-convenient ones. In Mark 16 and 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17 says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, as the word devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they the sick shall recover. 19 says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he, the Lord, was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. We said right hand of God is not a position. Is an Old Testament phrase for the manifestation of the power of God. Okay, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord walking with them, David Salicized there, and confirming the word with signs following. Now, if Jesus would walk with them, it simply means he never left the earth. I repeat it again, there is no doctrine in the New Testament of Jesus leaving the earth. Jesus left, as it were, the terrestrial part of the earth. He wasn't seen as he was seen in the four gospels, but he is part and parcel of the earth. Just like his incarnation was not his first time in the earth. He is Yahweh God. The incarnation was his first time as a man. So he never leaves the earth. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 verse 1. So yet again, this confirms this is the God of the Old Testament. The Yahweh God of the Old Testament who is walking with and confirming his word with signs following. In Luke's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1, this is Luke now, it says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth another declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word. Seem good to me also, I've had perfect understanding of all things from the very first to act in thee, now the most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know certainly of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now what Luke is saying here is, I wasn't there physically. I got the information from those who were there. He calls them the ministers of the word, which means those who were authorized, you know, to say this. Apparently, he got this information from the apostles and quite some information also from Mary, Jesus' earthly mother. So in verse 25, where he records again the resurrection of Jesus, where he says it, talks to his own disciples, Luke 24, 25, he says, "All fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory." Look at 27. "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself." So the ideal way of reading the New Testament books is to read backwards. You have to go backwards, which means you have to read the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. Because the Bible of Jesus and New Testament writers, the authority they had was the Old Testament. In verse 44, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Again, it goes back to the Old Testament. "He opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." Look at John 1:1. "In the beginning was the word." So how many times have we seen beginning now? Huh? Four times. Matthew 1:1. Mark 1:1. Luke 24 and verse 27. Luke 24 and then again verse 44. And we see beginning again, which means every doctrine takes its source from Genesis through to Malachi. "In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God." We said that the word here is not the speaking word, but the Old Testament phrase called Dabar, D-A-B-B-A-R, or M-E-M-R-A, which means to see, hear, and perceive someone. So in the Old Testament, God was visible, perceivable, he could be heard, he could be seen, and that was Jesus in manifestation. Again, in John 20:22. He says, "And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost." And this is exactly Genesis 2:7. "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." So what is John saying? The one who breathed into man's nostrils, or who breathes into man's nostrils the breath of life, is Jesus. Jesus is not a created being. He's an uncreated being. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, where we took our text from, "But the manifestation," go there quickly, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Take that again. "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now, what is the meaning of manifestation? Manifestation means something to be fully disclosed. It's the opposite of closing something. Manifestation means fully disclosed. Now, you don't have two manifestations. Okay? You can have demonstrations. You don't have two manifestations. Because manifestation can only occur once. You can't say, you can disclose something, then say, "I'm disclosing it." If it's disclosed, it's fully seen. So manifestation occurs once, even though today we loosely use the word, the manifestations. Not a problem. We can create our own grammar. Not a problem for communication. But Bible language, manifest is once. Manifestation actually means naked. And it means that there's nothing holding back. There's nothing shielded from you. Nothing is left. So, now, pay attention to that. So when it says, "the manifestation of the Spirit," can we say everything about the Holy Ghost? Huh? Okay. Can we say all of the Holy Ghost? Okay? Can we say all the move of the Holy Ghost? The moves of the Holy Ghost. It says they are given to every man to profit withal. Now, how did Paul come to that conclusion? Now, earlier on in chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul calls the church in Corinth the temple of God. the temple of God. It says, know ye not that you are the temple of God. Now, the word temple there takes its meaning from the Old Testament. You are the temple of God. It actually means shrine of God in the proper Greek. You are the temple of God. Why? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. In chapter 6, quick one, and verse 19. In chapter 6 and verse 19. Not what? Know ye not. Now, why does he have to use the word know ye not? Not because they were ignorant, in the sense of they never heard it before. You know, before, when I was talking about local church, I said that there's a need for repetition of things, because many times people easily forget. Martin Luther once said this. He said, I teach my people righteousness by faith every week, because every week they forget it. We are in a world where, you know, we have we have access to multiple informations. So many songs. There are songs, for example, that we sing here that we got from other places. We sing our songs. For example, the song we sang just this morning that Blessing sang is the song she composed. So that's in the house. Now, there are songs that we got from other churches. We sing numerous songs. And sometimes we have to change their words. The wordings, because they don't reflect what we believe. For example, if a song says, we know that God wants to dwell with us. No, we don't believe that. We believe that God is dwelling with us. You know? If a song says, Holy Spirit, come! We don't have a problem with that. We love those composers. We love the inspiration behind it. But no. The Holy Spirit isn't coming. We are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Now, so look at Paul. Paul now has to remind the church, know ye not. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's not possible to be in Paul's church and not know that. But you see, we're not even in his church, we know it. Hallelujah. That all we have from Paul are his letters. These are people he taught every day, sometimes 2 years, sometimes 3 years. So definitely, we are definitely sure that the church he pastored knew it. But why would he have to remind them? Because people easily forget. Now notice the world we're in now. Everybody now has a platform to speak. Ignoramuses have a platform to speak. And whether you want it or not, you will see it. You will see, what's this one saying again? And some are even very courageous in their ignorance. Very bold. Very bold about it. Say, I know what I'm saying. So, we therefore have contestation of ideas. That people are pushing, looking for visibility all over the space. So imagine what Paul will say to us now. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body, praise the Lord, touch your physical body, touch your physical body. Say, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's in me. See that? He says, this physical body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's heavy. Because the temple of the Holy Ghost, pay attention here now, in the Old Testament is like this HQ, headquarters. You know, the headquarters of where everything happens. If you work with banks, for example, they'll tell you there's a transaction that the branch can do. They say the transaction the zonal offices can do. They say this transaction is the head office. Oh. The head office is where the managing director is. And then they say, you go to the head office. This is where decisions are made. This is where everything is done to control the branches. And that goes to every organization. So imagine if the temple was called the HQ. Then it says, you are the temple of God. The church. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So which means that everywhere I go, listen carefully now, I carry as much essence as how the Old Testament people saw the tabernacle. So we are moving tabernacles. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm a moving tabernacle. So we're moving tabernacle of God. So I've said that to them in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit. Now, let's take a step back and just go a bit to the Old Testament. And we said, is the work of the Spirit constrained, like say, is it restricted to the New Testament? We said, no. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. In the beginning, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the waters. And the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God. That word there is Ruach. R-U-A-C-H. The Spirit of God. Genesis 1, 2. Now, in Genesis 2, verse 7. Now, on Thursday or Friday, I gave you an illustration. And I said that much of the language that Moses and the writers of Genesis to Deuteronomy used are from Egypt. Who was around? Who was around on Friday? I can see your hand. You were around Friday morning. And we said, in Egypt, they usually call the nose the place of life. That's where life is. So whenever they find one of the pharaohs, when they die, they construct a statue for them. Now, in all the statues, they remove the nose to show you that this brain is dead. So the nostrils are to show life. And life is, listen carefully now, is represented by the wind or breath. So when he says the Spirit of God, you can say the wind of God, one. You can also say the breath of God, two. Can we also say the life of God, three. So the wind of God, the breath of God, the life of God. Or God's breathing. That's something else. So in Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Pay attention here now. And he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. So can we say his life gave man life? Is that it? Come on now. Can we say it that way? Come on, talk to me, guys. His life gave man what? Life. So which means the Spirit of God is the life-giving Spirit. You cannot give life, right? Of course, by the Spirit you can. It's God who gives life. So, but the Spirit of God is the life-giving Spirit. So, I mean, the Spirit of God is a life-giving Spirit. So, the Spirit of God is life-giving. Notice in verse 2, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. So, the Spirit of God is a creative ability of God. Creative ability. Genesis 1:2. Creative ability. Genesis 2:7, life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit. One, creative ability. Right? In the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, creative ability. Genesis 2:7, life-giving spirit. Now look at Genesis 3:8. You know, I told you that the English Bible is not the original Bible. You have the duty to study the Bible originally. You have no one to blame. In fact, in this age and time, we have a lot of access to information and studies. Now, in Genesis 3:8, I used to wonder, as a younger Christian, what it meant by the Lord God was walking. Now, this is the Garden of Eden. Then it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So I tried to fathom it in my mind. They heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the voice walking. But you know, you say, the voice walking. How can a voice walk? Now, in the Hebrew, the word there is kol. K-O-L. It means sound. Now, sound is another way of expressing life. Sound is to say active. So, pay attention now. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. The Hebrew word there is alak. A-A-H-A-L-H-A-L-A-K. Now, alak means moving about. Moving about. Moving about. Now, how many of you have ever seen words moving about before? That means that God was talking around. God was, because the writer doesn't tell us what he heard. God was talking around. At least not in verse 8. He was talking around. He was talking around. Then, you know, it says, in the cool of the day. Now that used to make me, how? Was he hot before? So God, you're taking fresh air. Oh my God. Well, he needs that in that this kind of Nigerian weather. He might need to take fresh air. You know, was it which day like that? I kept checking the air conditioner saying, is this thing spoiled? You know, this kind of weather is serious. And it's so hot that the little sign of rain, you know, yesterday we were watching the Arsenal game as usual, we won. And I'm grateful that useless team at least were useful for something yesterday. I know some of you have beef against me, right? You love me as your pastor, but that's the only but you have. Don't worry, God's going to help you. So as we're watching the game, then it started raining. So me and Brotoni watched games together. The pastor of Saints Fellowship Church will go. So we looked at ourselves and felt, well, this rain can disturb the game, but we need this rain. You know how we felt like we need this rain. So it looked like God also needed some fresh air. So he goes around the garden and is going. Adam, aren't you feeling this heat? Now look at the word cool. Cool there is wind. Is that spirit of God? Good. Now look at the word day. What does day mean in Genesis 1? Light. Are you here? So interchange it now. So day is light. Cool his spirit. Voice is a visible manifestation of God. So which means in the spirit of God, we find God visible, right? Come on. Come on, are you here? Visible. Do we also find light and direction? So in the spirit of God, we have light. We have sight. All right? Come on. And then he's walking around. So now, listen carefully now. Look up, look up, look up. Is Genesis 3:8 manifestation? Huh? Come on, guys. Is it manifestation? Now, what other name can we call the Garden of Eden? Huh? Temple and tabernacle. He's walking Walking around. Where do you walk around? You walk around in your house. Imagine if somewhere is not your house, and then you're just moving around. So, hello, who are you? Why should you ask me that kind of question? You say, who are you? You can't ask that kind of question. I came to see my friend. Ah. Sir, you have to leave this place. You can't be walking like the owner of the house. God is walking because that's his house. We are his house. Hallelujah. He walks in us freely. Glory to God. Are you there? So we have the Spirit. Now look at Genesis 6:3. Learning something? You learning something here? Genesis 6:3. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. Genesis 6:3. My spirit shall no longer strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall no longer strive with man, abide with man. Again, the word spirit. So God wants his spirit to dwell with us. So is the manifestation of the spirit God's plan for all of us? My spirit shall no longer strive with man. Now, don't forget that we've done this study. Then he looks at the earth. He's displeased. He sees that there's wickedness, sin, in verse 5, in the earth. But in the middle of it, he finds a man called Noah. Noah means resting place, comfort. Okay? He finds Noah. Then he says in verse 11 and 12 that the earth is filled with violence. Flesh has corrupted its way on the earth. So he speaks about destroying the earth, right? But he finds Noah. So what happens? Noah, now in chapter 6, verse 14, is instructed to build an ark. Unfortunately, many of us assume the ark to be either a submarine. Why did they even create a submarine? It's not too far. You could have had submarine back then. It's just like when you hear about sheep in the days of Jesus, don't assume those sheep you see at the Papa Porto. It's Keno. You know Keno? I took one from here to Lume one time. For many hours. You know? For what? You know, well, don't ask me. Well, one of them was for, the first one, no. Let me take that. There was one that was for work. There's another one we had years before then, and that was for ministry. And we, myself and the team, African Innovation Mission, we went outside Nigeria on the water to preach the gospel to a particular island like that. So that's the boat of Jesus. So that's why they could wake him up that he was sleeping. It's not the boat you have captain night. No. It's row, row, row your boat. Very, 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 very. So imagine if that was ship in the days of Jesus. What do you think Noah had? Think it's submarine? The engineer check the the word ark there is the word teba. It actually means shrine, a temple. So God is saying to Noah, build me a temple. I will save you and your family in my temple. Now watch this now. And that's why the way he built the temple in three layers. Above, three stories actually, in verse 16. Now what does that represent? Heaven, earth, and where? Under the earth. That's what he built. So, the earth is destroyed. Nope. There's flood upon the earth, but there's Noah. In Genesis chapter 7, quick one. Genesis chapter 7 and 18. It says the ark. Are you there? Are you there? Look at the B part. The ark went upon where? Huh? What does that remind you of? Genesis 1, 2. Is that ark the temple of the Holy Ghost? Come on. So it goes upon the face of the waters, okay? Watch that one now. Genesis 8:4. He says, and the ark rested in the 7th month. Before that, quick one. Look at that, 7:18 again. The ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the hills were under the old heaven were covered. Everything was covered. So it's like we are back again to Genesis 1-2. But there's something there. The Spirit of God is upon the face of the waters. So God says in verse 21, don't forget we read Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall no longer abide with man. Almost like saying, in my own words, I'm going to withdraw my spirit. Man is too sinful, he's too unstable, I'm going to withdraw my spirit. Now, Apostle, let me say something. I said it over and over again. There's nothing called God determining things. God actually changes situations. There are things that he will say, it look like he changed his mind. No. See, oftentimes with the grammar, this is the problem. It states the problem. This should be the consequence. But God's grace always steps in. Hallelujah. What is the right judgment? My spirit shall no longer abide with man. He's unstable, right? He just can't work. But the same God who said that in chapter 8 verse 21, now, verse 20 says, Noah built an altar to the Lord. So Noah has two things he built. He built an ark, right? Is it for worship? Is the ark for worship? It's temple. He also built an altar. Is an altar also for worship? Yes. Now look at verse 21. And the Lord, now look up now. Let's see how it sounds again. And the Lord began to smell suya. This looks like Nigerian jollof. God said, oh my God. No, I didn't know you were such a good cook. Oh, don't worry, guys. I'll no longer destroy the earth. This food is too good to destroy the earth. If I can get this meal, every day I will destroy the earth again. I said, oh Lord, don't worry. I'll stay in the kitchen. No. Now, what is the writer using? The image of the, of what? The nose. What did I tell you about the nose? The nose means what? Life and spirit. So when it says, the Lord smelled, it means the Spirit of God is moving. Come on. Are you here? The Lord smelled is the Spirit of God is moving. In fact, the Hebrew word there is ruach, the Lord's Spirit moving. Reyak, actually. Ruach. The Lord's Spirit moved into Switzerland means a good place to rest. So, God's Spirit has found what? A resting place. It's not, he's smelling omo, those kind of things that you smell when you're fasting. You know, I didn't know that. When I was in secondary school, we used to fast. And then, that fasting looks like torture. So, you take your morning meal, keep it in the locker. Your afternoon meal, keep it in the locker. Then you now be smelling it. And you look at your wristwatch. That those days are the slowest times in the history of the world. It was 4:30 when I looked at it. It's still 4:30. You just looked at it, brother. So I was storing the food. So by 5 o'clock, I'm pacing up and down. By 5:30, anything you tell me, I will not understand. By 5:50, an excitement just comes. The torture is about to be over. By 5:55, you have your spoon. By 5:58, you are already opening the meal. You are not eating it, but you are ready. You are not praying, no? The only prayer you pray is, Father, I thank you for today's fast. Hunger strike. So you eat the morning one, the afternoon one, maybe the evening one. So what a fast. You just slowed down. So here, the Lord's Spirit is moving, and then he says, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, which means that God's Spirit will dwell with unstable men. God is going to walk with us. We will be perfect vessels for his Spirit to walk with us. His Spirit will rather be the one walking the perfection through us. Who's following what I'm saying here now? Come on. Let me see how you get this now. So this, verse 21, Is it the contrast of Genesis 6:3? Huh? Come on, guy. Does it change Genesis 6:3? My spirit. So God's spirit in Genesis 8:21, it undoes what he said in Genesis 6:3. Genesis 6:3 should be the consequence. You don't have a perfect life. You don't do well. He's not giving you his spirit. Genesis 8:21, God in his grace. And you can see it easily. The very man he used in Genesis 6, Noah, got drunk in Genesis 9. How about that for a result? The very man. You know, so God, now that's not an endorsement of getting drunk. Amen. It's just saying to you that God never used perfect men. He has never used perfect men. God has never used perfect men. So don't wait for a perfect moment to see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. You won't get it. What he uses are men who worship him and are loyal to him. And that's what we found there. Noah displayed that. And that's faith in him. And he, by his spirit, walks through Noah. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Say it's given to me. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Say it's given to me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to me. What does that mean? It means that I have access to see, right? To hear, and to interact in supernatural things. Access to see, to hear, and to interact in supernatural things. Access to see, to hear, and interact in supernatural things. Now, look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The word ignorant there is the word agnohio. It simply means you are deliberately ignorant. Now there are those who are ignorant because they don't know. They've not been taught. Never have been taught. A woman, she's been a Christian since 1958 or so. Yeah, I think, yeah. So she's been waiting for the baptism with the Holy Ghost. 1958, I think so. And then she said, you know, I want the Lord to use me. I want him to use me. I want him to use me in a greater way, in a greater way. I know he has been using me in the health ministry. He has been using me to feed the poor. But I want him to use me in his power. I want to... And he said, but the moment you got born again, that's the indication that he was going to use you. But she had been wrongly taught that she needed to go through some steps. And usually, every time you look at yourself, you think you're not qualified. You think, maybe I'm not up to it. And sometimes preachers don't help us too. They give us some outlandish stories about their lives. You feel, well, except I meet up with this one, I can't make it. And that's not fair. Remember in Acts of the Apostles, on two occasions, when Peter and John healed the man at the beautiful gate, and people came to say, wow, you guys said, no. Don't think it's by our uniqueness that we made this man healed. In Acts 14, Paul says, we are men of like passions like you. That means all the temptations you face is what we face. We also have our weaknesses. This is the power of God. Are you here? You don't qualify for the power of God. In fact, your qualification is to be a sinner. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the Spirit is given. Now, for that woman, I remember I had to take some more time with her because I think that's quite, I think it was 1990-something, I forgot the year, but she was 57 or 58. And I said, you've been saved since that time? And so we had to take time because that kind of person has heard many things. These are people who have gone around churches. They have gone around churches. Every time you are preaching, things are in their head. This one is saying his own now. Go around the churches, like someone has gone to 9 churches in 2 years. That's the angel of the churches. So as you open the text, when you say, another Rema. So you are actually fighting against not just one stronghold, but strongholds. There's many in here. Particularly someone that had believed it for a longer period. So it took a while to explain. When she eventually got filled with the Holy Ghost, because I wasn't the one that ministered to her directly, was one of the person in the fellowship, she said, "Are you sure this is real?" See, because I'm not sounding like Pastor so and so, because his own tongues were sounding refined. I was like, "Are you sure it's real?" You know, there was one brother who became a pastor, one of our pastors back then. He wrote me an email. I still have the email. So one day when he was talking about his disciples and telling me, I said, "I will show you your email. I have your past." He said, "Sir, is this rubbish I'm saying?" Really, the Spirit of God. Then he wrote me there, he said, "I try to close my eyes whether I can see visions, but I just see darkness and some light. It's in the email, right? Right in the email. So I said, "If I was patient with you, you ought to be patient with others." Sometimes we become impatient. "What do you mean by that nonsense? What do you mean by rubbish? God knows the word." That did that with you. One of our leaders too, I said, "Remember the first time you were going to prophesy? You were turned around. Now you carry spirit. You're turning around." Say, "Did I chase you away?" I watched you finish turning. I said, "Say what you want to say." So, you know, we all growing, okay? I won't tell you the first time I prophesied. I won't tell you. One day I'll tell you, you know I'm talking about myself. I will shield the person from you. sometimes we assume that God starts with perfect moments. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. The first time I had a word of knowledge in my life, someone told me, "That's a word of knowledge." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Hey, you don't know." I know my friend was looking like Kenneth Hagin. He was like Kenneth Hagin then. He said, "That's word of knowledge." He said, "The other one you gave was word of wisdom." I said, "Eh?" He said, yeah. You come up. Only I told him, I said, "You know, that day you were chancing me." So sometimes God doesn't need the perfect moments. The manifestation is given. So we have those who are ignorant because they are not taught. But we have those who are ignorant because they're deliberately ignorant. If you're in a church like this, then you are deliberately ignorant. You are just ignorant. You want to be ignorant. You don't want to know. He says, I would have you ignorant. Because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. The manifestation is given to everyone to profit without. Now, look at Revelation 1:10. Let me show you something, a quick one. Someone told me one time, he says, "Sir, how can I be in the Spirit?" I said, "What Spirit?" I said, "Sir, the person is in this service. But I'm looking in your direction. Not you." He said, "How can I be in the Spirit?" I said, "Which Spirit?" "This Spirit, sir. This Spirit. You have been told the Spirit is one realm. Where? You know, the last time when we were in the Spirit. Which Spirit? You and who?" Look at Revelation 1:10. This is John on the island of Patmos. See what he says. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now, the way it's said here looks like he's I was in Lagos. But the Greek doesn't say that. The Greek is the word ginomai, which means to come into. It's the same word in John 1:14. The word became flesh. So, I became in the spirit. Can we say I entered into? Huh? Can we say I changed into the spirit? Same thing. So which means John got in the spirit as an act of his will. It's not that the Holy Ghost just took it like, woo! You're just walking on the spirit. What's happening? The Spirit of God is moving. No, that's a wrong teaching. One day when the Holy Ghost meeting, the brother, and then we were prophesying, and I said, amen, let's be quiet. The brother kept pledging his brother, oh, the Spirit of God! I said, let's be quiet. The Spirit of God is moving, and he's saying it. Let's be quiet. Let's be quiet. So I just turned to one of the brethren. And then they called the brother and said, oh, the Holy Ghost is moving me right now. And they called him. He's wrongly taught. When you are in the spirit, you don't lose your sense of your faculties. John said, I was in the spirit. I came into the spirit. Which means it's a location within the Christian life. Within the Christian life. That's why we can pray in the spirit. Which is praying in the spirit is an act of my will. I know when I want to pray in the spirit. How many of you say, I didn't know. So I just found out that I prayed in the spirit. Unknown to me. That's how I walked in the spirit. I walked in love. What a miracle. No. Walking in the spirit is an act of your will. Praying in the spirit is an act of your will. What about singing in the spirit? It's an act of your will. So when John says, I was in the spirit, is I became in the spirit. It's like going into a place. Now I'm going to explain this much later on, that this is an Old Testament phrase. You know, Moses, listen to this now, when Moses was going to bring the law, the Ten Commandments and the statutes, the Bible says, Moses heard the law, said, come up. So he came into the high mountain. And in Deuteronomy, when that was going to be said, he said, Moses went to heaven, and Moses came from heaven. So it's a place people go to and come out from. The way you walk into a place and walk out of it is how to be in the spirit. So being in the spirit is not an unconscious reality. Did you hear that? It's not an unconscious reality. And sometimes some of us think because you could have gone to a church where it looks like that, or you could have been to a place where it looks like that, as an unconscious reality. No, it's not. It's a conscious reality. Why? Because the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Do you know, Adam and Eve didn't have to do anything to hear God. Did they? Not to see him. They didn't have to do anything. Excuse me. They didn't have to do anything special. They just had to be where he is. Is that okay? And where am I? I am where he is. Praise God. I said, praise God. The manifestation of the Spirit is given. So we said there are two kinds of ignorance. There's ignorance when you don't know. There's ignorance when you refuse to know. You get it? There's ignorance when you refuse to know. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you there? Are you there? Come on, church, are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says in verse 4, Okay, let's take it. Verse 3. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with this unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand, let's take verse 3 together, 1 Corinthians 12, that no man speaking, call it Jesus what? No, let's take that again. Everybody, let's go. No man, everyone together, let's read it together, let's go. No man, I said 1 Corinthians 12:3. Everybody, that should be louder than that. Let's go. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God, call it Jesus Christ. Right, let's say this, the people are, but no man can say, that means when you said Jesus is Lord, it was an utterance by the Holy Ghost. You can't say, I don't know how to prophesy. You can't say, I don't know how to speak by the Spirit, because when you said Jesus is Lord, that was by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That was by the Holy Ghost. When he said Jesus is Lord, he says that's by the Holy Ghost. In verse 4, now he says, there are diversities of gifts, Paul says, but the same Spirit. Why does he say same Spirit? No, if you're talking to someone and say, so which car is coming? Same car. Why do you use same car? Because you've talked about that car before. Right? So, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. It was 1 Corinthians 2. Paul had been speaking about the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2:4. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of what? Spirit and a power. That means if somebody is preaching to you, that preaching that got you convinced about Jesus is the demonstration of the Spirit. Now look at verse 9. As is written, I has not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love. Let's take verse 10 together. But God has revealed them unto us, for the Spirit searches all things. So when you heard the gospel, was that the revelation by the Spirit? Okay, now look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but what? So when you believe the gospel, was that by the Spirit? Come on, church. Look at verse 12. Let's take 12 together. Now. Let's go again. Now. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So have you received the spirit of God? Okay, the same spirit that communicated the gospel to you, you have received. Look at verse 13. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? What do we have? Chapter 3 verse 16. Know ye not that you are what? And that the Spirit of God, same spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 11. Are you in church? Let's go. It says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, in the name of the Lord. Anyone justified here? By the Spirit of God. Verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? Anyone like that? Say, I'm one spirit with him. Psalm 1 spirit with him. Look at 19. Let's take it together. What? Know ye not? Anyone like that? Anyone like that? So now in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts. But what? Spirit that got the gospel to us. That we received. Our salvation that dwells in our bodies. Is that the same spirit? So which means all the gifts are in the spirit and the spirit is in the believer. How does that work out? That means I have all the gifts of the Spirit. See, I have all the gifts of the Spirit. I've not said you have walked in it. I said you have it. See, I have all the gifts of the Spirit. Now you say, oh no, Pastor, you know, I'm still growing. Paul called this whole church Cana. That's not supposed to be your own exploit. He says they are carnal. He says they are babes. He calls them babes. Spiritual infants, he calls them. But he says they have all the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1. Look at 7. Are you learning something? You learning something? 1 Corinthians 1, 7. This is the same church. He called them babes. He called them carnal. He even said they were behaving like, said, I speak this to your shame. They were taking themselves to court. There was a brother in their midst who had his father's wife and no one was saying anything. He lived in immorality. Everybody saw he said nothing. Paul condemned all of that. There are those of them in the same church who were still eating food offered to idols and felt there was an idol somewhere. So it was a mixed church, mixed grill. But look at 1 Corinthians 1:7. Let's go together. Let's go. And that you come behind in no gift. So this church, did they lack any of the gifts? Huh? Are they babes? Did they have problems in the church? Huh? Come on. But does that invalidate the manifestation of the Spirit? Because the manifestation of the Spirit is giving. The word giving there means you don't qualify. You don't do something again. To every believer. So when Paul says, there are, 1 Corinthians 12, let's go back there, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Someone say the same Spirit. Say the same Spirit. Say it again, the same Spirit. Now what's the next thing? It says there are differences of administrations. The word there is ministries. But the same Lord. So we have, write this down, we have the gifts, the ministries of the gifts. You can put ministry gifts. What is a ministry gift? Ministry gift is the way the gifts of the Spirit are ministered. The way you minister. It's like making food. The food is ready. How it is served. Look at the third one. There are diversities of operations. Now, so we have the gifts. We have the ministries of the gifts. Then verse 6, we have the operations of the ministries and the gifts. Operations just means how it works out. Let me give you an instance to know that there are diversities. In Acts 2 verse 1 to 4, did the whole church speak with tongues? Did they prophesy? Did they have visions? Did anybody lay hands on them? No. In Acts 8, did the believers speak in tongues? Did people lay hands on them? Peter and John. In Acts 9, did Paul get filled with the Holy Ghost? Did he see visions? Come on. Did someone lay hands on him? Yeah, Ananias did. In Acts 10, in the house of Cornelius, did people speak with tongues? Did anybody lay hands on them? No. In Acts 19, in Ephesus, did they speak with tongues? Did Paul lay hands on them? So we have diversities of operations. When it comes to healing, did Jesus heal people the same way all the time? No. There are diversities of operations. The word diversities is the word diaresis in the Greek. D-I-A-R-E-S-I-S. It means different kinds. And I was saying this the other day, I think someone asked a question when I was teaching about Seated on High. That was last week. I said the way the manifestation of the Spirit is, you may think something is wrong because you have not seen it before. You may think it's wrong. The very first time I saw a particular manifestation of the Spirit that I see often now, in my head. Now, because my head is full of all manner, I felt, what's this? You know, that's the first thing, what's this? In your head, because I came from a very, very conservative background, so I felt, how can this be the Spirit of God? You know, that's in your head, like, you think the Spirit of God passes through the litmus test of your brain. How can this be the Spirit of God? Now, you see something, say, this cannot be the Spirit of God. Imagine if you were around and Jesus takes saliva and takes sand and puts it together and heals the sick. He'll say, ha! Antichrist! Or someone who's dumb and he spits into his mouth. Say, ha! This Jesus needs salvation. He needs Christ. You know, you'll have freaked out. You know, but there are diversities of operations. Praise the Lord. You know, in the Exodus, when they wanted water, God told Moses to strike the rock. He struck the rock, water came out. Second time, he said, speak to the rock. Same manifestation, let's say same ministry, but different operation. Say, I'm open to different operations of the moving of the Spirit. And we're going to learn more of that. Amen. We must be open to the moving of the Spirit. Is that okay? To the moving of the Spirit. We find it in the Word, right? And God still does the same. Praise the Lord. So, it says there are diversities of operations, but the same Lord. Look at 7. Together, let's go. But, woo, glory. But what? The manifestation of the Spirit. Who's every man? Put your name in there, come on. Come on, put your name in there. The manifestation of the Spirit. Say, he's given to me. Glory to God. Say, I have the manifestation of the Spirit. I have received in Christ Jesus the manifestation of the Spirit. Notice something now. He now begins to mention 9 things. In the coming days, I'm going to open up this conversation more. And we're going to explore an area we have never done before, but not now, the coming days. In verse 8, but to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the sign of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. They say, hey, which one is my own? No. That's reading like a comedian. You just read, the manifestation is given to every man. So in verse 11, all this, glory to God, work at what? The one and self-same Spirit. Why do you think he kept saying the same Spirit? So you wouldn't think he's talking about another Spirit. The one and self-same Spirit. The Spirit that justified you? Huh? Cleansed you, divided into every man, severally, praise God, as he wills. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say the same Spirit. Say the same Spirit. You know, years ago, I began to work in an operation of God's gift. So I minister to people and they will fall under the power of God. You know, so the thing really thrilled me. I said, oh wow. So I got some guys from the hall. There were about 10. And I laid hands on them and they went on the power of God. And they really felt the power of God. And then a friend of mine told me, he said, did those guys speak in tongues? I said, no. He said, why? I said, I didn't know I had that ministry. He said, no. He said, you just did not minister it well. That rather get them to fall down alone, which happened, you can actually direct the same thing to get them full of the Spirit. So I told him, tell me how. He said, I won't tell you how. You come and see how I'm going to do it. So we gathered together one evening. It was a Friday. Then he got some guys, about four of them. Then he began to lay hands on them. And laid hands on them. And as I saw it, I just said, I received this. And I'm going to walk in it. That evening, I got one person full of the Holy Ghost for the first time. And he got full of the Holy Ghost. All I did was I said, in the name of Jesus, I laid hands. And I said, and I noticed that all I needed to do was to minister it. I ministered it by faith. So you received baptism of the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. I said, yeah. So he's speaking, I told him from the word of God. I laid hands on him. It took him a while, but he spoke in tongues. As soon as that happened, I looked for another Christian that was not filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, and I began to stir that up till I was able to do it to hundreds, sometimes thousands at once. And it started with just knowing that I can minister the same way I ministered the other one. And I can tell you this, I close here, that there are things like that that many of us are not walking in because we're either ignorant or we have refused to act on the word. Amen. You know, this week, amen, this week, I want you to make up your mind to get people full of the Holy Ghost, to speak in other tongues. Anybody ready for that this week? Anybody like that? Start on that one. It's a good way to start. I don't speak in tongues, so why? Well, I don't think my gift. Explain the word of God. That's by the Spirit, right? And learn to lay hands. Some of you may not have to lay hands, but there's a walking of the Holy Ghost in you. And you know you don't have to qualify, right? Just be a believer. Say, I have the manifestation of the Spirit. Yeah, you can. And as you minister this week, yeah, you will see things by the Spirit. You will hear things by the Spirit. And let the ministry start this day, today, after the service. Go on evangelism and walk in a depth you've never walked in before. Just be bold about it. See, if you make mistakes, you do it again and you get it better. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Never be. There's no one God has ever used that didn't first make a mistake. Do you understand? I make mistakes. I'm still growing too. Still growing. The story I just told you now is 33 years old. 34 years old. I'm still growing. You won't do anything if you don't start at all. Today, step out. Go out. You have someone who's not full of the Holy Ghost. You have someone who is sick. You have people that, you know, you just find the things flow through you. It will. It will. You have someone you got born again yesterday, but you haven't gone full of the Holy Ghost yet. Go today. Power of God is working in you. The manifestation is yours. Stand to your feet. Let's just talk in other tongues.